All right, so let me say this. I want to springboard off of what Jamie said earlier before I move on and before I forget. You know, she said something earlier in reading the Psalms and talking before she started worship, and she said, God chose to create us. He didn't have to. He had everything just the way he wanted it. He could have anything and everything the way he wants it, and he does, obviously. But he could have had everything perfect, everything doing exactly what he says, the way he wants it, the way he says it. But he chose to create us, human beings, whom he knew. He's all-knowing, right? Whom he knew many of us would reject him. He knew it. He knew that we would have the choice. He chose to give us the choice to reject him or accept him. He chose that. And he knew, and he still did. And a step further than that, we're celebrating right now the fact that he chose to give his only begotten son to redeem us, to give us another opportunity to be forgiven, to be free, to be set free, to come back into relationship with him. If we've strayed, if we've gone away, if we've sinned or whatever. And we have. We're all born into it. Adam and Eve messed up. Yeah. Mankind messed up. We're all born into it. Nobody's perfect. We've all got issues, no matter what they are. But the fact of the matter is, he gave his only son so that we could be forgiven and set free. Forgiven and set free. That doesn't mean forgiven and we struggle. That means forgiven and set free from whatever the issue is. So I hope tonight that this happens, that you hear throughout what I speak tonight a theme that goes through this. I did not plan this. This is totally, God gave this to me tonight, literally a couple hours before coming here. I was getting in the shower and bam, I had to write it down. It's like, get after it. So God started speaking to me, and it totally goes in line with what Paul has been teaching over the last few weeks. And you know, he chose to create us knowing that we would reject him, that we could reject him, that we can reject him. But he chose that. And he chose to send his only son to this world to be crucified for us, to give us another chance to be forgiven for eternity, for always, as long as we're alive and breathing air, then we have the choice to choose Jesus Christ in relationship with him and be forgiven of whatever we've done. Doesn't matter what it is. Does not matter. Hear me clearly. Does not matter what we've done. We have the choice to be forgiven if we choose Jesus Christ into our hearts. That's what he did. When we sin against God, death happens. What is death? Death is separation. The meaning of death is separation. That's what it means. Separation. Sin separates us from God the Father. Jesus, choosing him into our life, repenting of our sin, confessing our sin, and repenting with our mouth and with our heart, and believing in him, restores us back to relationship with God the Father. That's what it does. That's what this season, this weekend, is about. We get to choose. We have to choose. We can choose not to. He knew that beforehand, and many do. But many also don't, but many also do. So with all that said, I wanted to springboard off what Jamie said. He created us with a choice. He created us knowing beforehand that we could. He created us knowing that we would. Because he planned beforehand, before Adam and Eve ever fell, he chose, he already made the plan out to send his only son. He chose to set it up. He already knew it. Psalm 22. Before Jesus was ever alive, Psalm 22 says this: my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me?" What did Jesus say on the cross before he died? My God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, whatever it says, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting scripture. He was saying it, yes. He meant it, yes. What is the most painful thing? We think it's physical pain. Let me go through this with you. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to bear with me, okay, for a moment. God created us knowing that we would have a choice, knowing that we would that some of us would choose to reject him. There is a heaven, there is a hell. That means there are some in both places. He said, Jesus, wide is the way, one way, and narrow is the way, the other, to heaven. We get to choose. All throughout the Bible, it talks about this. Jesus himself made it so clear for all of eternity. So what I want you to think about is this. He chose to create us with a choice. He gave us a free will. We know that from the Word of God. We know that we get to choose him or reject him. We know that we get to be selfish and choose our own way or choose him. We do. That's the truth. We also know that a forgiving God loves us so much that in spite of all of that, knowing that, he chose to create us because he wanted what? Relationship. He wanted it so much with us that he afterward and pre-planned sending his only son. Now, let me walk through this with you for a moment, okay? Jesus on the cross, Jesus going to the cross. God himself in the flesh, the Son of God. We have the Trinity, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? We have Jesus walking the earth, doing miracles, signs, and wonders, discipling the disciples, doing all that he did. And then it comes time for Judas to do what he did, and that also was all planned out. He knew it was going to happen. He goes to the cross. Let's walk through this for a minute, okay? He spit on. Actually, you know what? Let's read it. Matthew 27 and verse 32, I'm going to start at. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene by name, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross, talking about the cross that Jesus was carrying, trying to drag. All right, before this, let me back up. Verse 28. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, talking about Jesus. And they twisted a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and a reed in his hand, that they might. And then they bowed a knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Okay, let me stop right there. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Thorns. Painful, right? Hurts. Then they bow their knee and they mock him. Now, I've never thought about this before, but I'm going to bring this up to you. At the moment, they're putting a crown of thorns on his head. They bow their knee and they mock him. What are they doing? They're mocking him. They have rejected him. When you're mocking someone, it means you've rejected them. You've already rejected. You're mocking them. That's how that is. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 20 of Matthew 27. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The chief elders, talking about the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Sadducees and all them that were in control, the religious authority, that they could have Barabbas and destroy Jesus. What did they do? They rejected Jesus. Verse 25 of chapter 27. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and our children." Then they released Barabbas to them. And then they went on to beat Jesus. It says, scourged him and delivered him to be crucified. So it went from the elders who rejected him. Then the people cried out and said, give us Barabbas, keep Jesus. So then the crowd rejects him. Then it goes on to say, and they stripped him, they mocked him, the soldiers rejected him. And then it goes on to talk about, you know, Simon and Cyrene. That's where I was reading, and I want to read on. And when they had come, this is verse 33. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. And when he had come and tasted it, he would not drink it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. They divided his garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That's written in the Old Testament. Then in verse 36 it says, sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Again, mocking him. Is he King of the Jews? Sure. But they didn't mean it that way. They were mocking. They were rejecting. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And it says after that in verse 39, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. So then there's a crowd walking by, also rejecting him. And saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. You are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Again, mocking him. Again, rejecting him. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he, the King of Israel, If he be the king, if he is the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. Him now, if he will. If he will have him, for he will. For he said, "I am the Son of God," talking about Jesus. Then it says in verse 44, "Even the robbers who were crucified with him," backing up, the one on the left and the one on the right, "even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." Again, rejection. "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land." Verse 45. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Now I want to point something out to you. Physical wounds, we can get used to. Pain, even if it's long term, we can get used to it. Or it can be healed. Internal pain is a lot harder to get through. Right? We all know that. So let me point that out. Now, it is not in the Holy Ghost harder to get through. What Paula has been teaching on rejection is that we can be free. We can be internally healed, but it has to happen through the Holy Ghost, through Jesus, through inner healing. Just like outward medicine heals, just like Mr. Phillips' kidneys were healed, and he doesn't have to have dialysis anymore, we also internally can be healed and not have to go through stuff anymore. That is the truth. But it has to happen through the Holy Spirit, through God the Father, through His Spirit in us, through Jesus. And there are things in us, especially rejection. That's what I'm trying to show you. Let's back up even further. What did the devil do in the very beginning to God? Arrogant, prideful, rejected God. God had to cast him out of heaven. Then God creates man, who he knows is going to do the same thing many of us would. But he wants relationship. He doesn't want robots. He wants people he can love and have relationship with. And we get to choose. So I'm trying to tell you, we get to choose to love him in return. We can choose our own way. We can be selfish. We can do what we want. Doesn't make it right. But I'm trying to give you reality. Reality is, you get to choose. And the enemy so often tricks us and makes us think, oh, well, one day we can fix that. Or you're stuck with that. Or even more than that, God has forsaken you. He's rejected you. You're done. That's a lie. All of those things are lies. He gave his only son to forgive you, to forgive me, to wash us clean. To set us free. To get us off of internal dialysis. We don't have to live like that. He didn't die for nothing. Now, I got to get through this. God's given me so much. I got to get through it. I want to point something else out to you. I just want to make this clear, okay? Understand this. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. Let me say it again. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, forever. No beginning and no end. What was the one time that was different? What we're reading right now. My God, why have you forsaken me? What was the most painful thing about the crucifixion? Wasn't the crown of thorns. It wasn't even the cat of nine tails beating on the back with glass and shards in it, ripping the flesh off of his back. It was the moment that he cried out, my God, why? Did he cry out any other time? No. What is the one time in all of eternity, from beginning, no end, one time in all of eternity, that there was any separation, that there was rejection? It was this moment we're talking about. Right here and right now. People walking by rejected him. The crowd rejected him. The chief priest rejected him. Peter, his own disciple, denied, rejected him. The robbers on each side of him reject him. God the Father at that moment had to, because justice had to happen. Why? Because he chose to give his only son. I want you to get this picture of how big and how important you are to him. Because that's why he did this. This is how much he loves you. This is how much he loves me and you. He didn't have to do that. Do you not think that it was not only painful for Jesus, but it was also painful for the Holy Spirit, and was also painful for God the Father, who had to turn his back for that moment? Because why? All of our sin was put on his Son. Somebody had to pay the price, because God is a God of justice. Justice is a requirement, because that's a part of who God is. So he had to do something. He had to do it. Not only did he have to, he chose to. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. He gave all. There is nothing that I can think of more painful than rejection. I mean, there might be. I could be wrong. I don't know. Right now, I just feel like that's what God's saying. He's saying, I've not rejected you. I gave my son for you. I created you knowing that you would mess up. I created you because I love you and I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to talk to me. I want to talk to you. I want to fulfill every dream and calling that you have on your life. I created you for those reasons. One day in heaven with a great cloud of witnesses, we will be able to sit around and tell stories of the great things that God has done, that we got to be a part of, if we choose to be a part of. If we choose, If you choose, if I choose not to reject him, and the devil loves to come and say, "Oh, not now. Don't worry about that right now. You got time." No. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste the time. Why? I don't know about you, but if I know somebody loves me that much, I'm going to run. I'm going to run to him because he loves me that much. He loves you that much. On top of and with being a believer already, already loving him and being able to be free and delivered from rejection. And not living in that dialysis anymore. Why are we going through hardship right now? Why are things stirred up? Because we're hitting something that the devil does not want us to hit. Obviously. Otherwise, everything would be just flowing right along. It's truth. So if that's happening, then I know he's saying, don't do it. Don't get prayer. Don't say anything. Don't ask for help. Don't respond. He's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. And he does not like to be exposed. He likes to work in darkness, not light. He hates it when the flashlight is shined on him. He hates it. God is light. Truth is light. Tonight, I just want you to realize something. More than anything else in this world, God loves you. More than you can even imagine at this moment. And maybe you're sitting here struggling with, I did this, I did this, I did that. I didn't do that right, I didn't do this right. He's written me off, he's rejected me. No. His own son on the cross took all of our sin for eternity, past, present, and future. The worst of the worst was put on him at that moment. And what happened? That moment he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But what happened 3 days later? He was raised from the dead. And he's alive, sitting at the right hand of God right now. What? Interceding for you and me, standing in, whispering in God's ear, saying, they're going to make it. I love them. Praying for you. Believing for you and me to choose him. Believing for us to choose to deny and reject the bad stuff. And the devil who's saying, don't respond. Keep doing what you like. Keep doing what you enjoy. You don't need to do that right now. Yes, you do. Why? Because he loves you. And because you don't know what tomorrow holds, neither do I. None of us know. If we have tomorrow, none of us, not one of us in this room, no. And that's not a fear thing. That's truth. It's just the truth. Besides the fact, why waste the time? I don't know about you, but as a believer, I want to be able to sit with Paul the Apostle and the great cloud of witnesses and the believers, and I want to be able to share stories, and I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste my life. And if you don't know him and you're in here tonight, he doesn't want you to waste your life. He doesn't want you to go another moment without him. Not because he wants to control you. Not because he wants to make a robot. Not because he wants another cookie cutter stamped Christian, but because he loves you. What did he say to Jesus in the Jordan when he was being baptized? He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," before he ever did any miracle. He created you and he created me. He created every one of us in this room, and he knew before we were born, he has a calling on you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And yes, it's a big deal. And yes, he loves you this much and more. More than I have words to describe. Even with the word of God, we don't realize how much he loves you and me. We don't. But we can. It's a choice. So if you guys would, if you'd stand, I'm going to end right there. That's it. Father God, I thank you tonight, God, for every person in this room. And God, for the people that you're speaking to right here, right now, this very moment. Holy Spirit, whom you're moving on their mind and heart right now, who do not have a relationship with you, who do not talk to you every day, who do not know you, who maybe they've never known you, maybe they have, maybe they're away, maybe they're separated, maybe they're whatever the situation, but the moment right here, right now, that you're moving on their heart, God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, God, you speak to their heart. Your word says that no man comes to the Father except he be drawn by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, Holy Spirit, I ask you to draw to you. I know you already are. I don't even have to ask. You already are. You want people more than we even know, God. We even really understand. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as this altar is open tonight, God, I pray that you would draw to you. You know, the word says that we have to make a public, that we have to speak with our mouth, we have to confess with our mouth, and believe with our heart, and we'll be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, and you will be saved. That's what the word says. It's a public thing. Does it have to be always? Yeah. If you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. That's what he says. Why does the devil fight so hard in these moments, right here and right now, when this is happening? Because he knows. When we choose to love God, and we choose to make a confession, and we choose to believe with our heart and make it public, he knows in that moment that something eternal has happened, is happening. He also hates it because he can. Even the angels who fall can't. Even the angels that are with God can't do what we can do. He created us in his image. We are special to him. could go on all night. But let me end with this and just say this. If you're here tonight with everybody closing their eyes and you're just bow your heads, please. If you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart right now, I want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. If you've raised your hand, if I want to ask you one more thing. I know I'm going to stretch you, and it's okay, but if you would come up here, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. I promise I won't embarrass you. Just take a step. Father God, I thank you tonight, God, for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for what you're doing. Father, I pray for the strength and the faith to step over all of the stuff. All of the stuff. All of the stuff being spoken. All of the stuff that has happened. All of the things, God. The rejection, the hurt, the pain. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, God. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, I pray that for every one of us in this room, that you continue to route out through the Holy Spirit rejection out of our lives, and that you speak to our hearts, and that you encourage and strengthen us to ask for help when we need it, to get free. And Jesus, I ask you tonight, God, that you would silence the enemy this moment, right here, right now, and give strength and courage to everyone in this room that needs it this moment to come to you, to receive you and not reject you, to reach out to you and not pull back from you. Thank you.